Hi friends, this is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're studying 28 Advent Scriptures, and this is Day 16. Glory to God in the highest, Luke 2, 8-14. And welcome to Monday of the third week of Advent. Let's pray. Lord, it's a big deal, the birth of Christ in a stable, in a manger. And yet, with angels and armies of angels singing the glories of God, open our hearts to see it afresh, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We continue from yesterday's reading of the Christmas story in Luke. Today we focus on the angels. Tomorrow we'll look more closely at the shepherds. Luke 2:8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. One minute the shepherds are talking quietly in the blackness of the winter sky. The next moment the hillside is ablaze with light and booming with the sound of the angel's voice. Verse 9, the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. This appearance isn't distant, like lightning miles away, but up front and personal. The brightness is more than just mega candle power. It is the radiance of God's own glory. Throughout the Old Testament, the presence of God is referred to as overwhelmingly bright, burning as fire, such as the cloud above the temple by day, Shekinah glory. God's angels sometimes bear this same bright glory. The result in the shepherds is predictable, abject terror. The angel moves to calm their fears. Verses 10 and 11. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This good news angel has the enviable task of being the first herald of Messiah's birth. Bring good news or bring good tidings is the Greek verb euangelizo, from which we get our English word evangelize. The message the angel brings is very good news indeed that results in great joy. What wonderful news for those who were estranged from God and struggling under oppression. The phrase town of David reminds the reader of the Messiah child's connection with his ancestor David in Micah 5:2 and 3. Finally, the angel utters the words that Jews had longed for centuries to hear. He is Christ the Lord, the Messiah. The angel terms this baby a Savior, one who rescues, Savior, Deliverer, Preserver. Traditionally, the Jews thought of the Messiah as a military and political Savior. This Savior will bring both salvation from enemies and from sin. But his salvation extends beyond the chosen people, the Jews, to the Gentiles, for all the people, it says. Our English word Christ, of course, comes from the Greek adjective Christos, anointed one, Messiah. Moreover, he is Christ the Lord. Lord suggests owner, Lord, master. However, when Jews read the Hebrew Scriptures, they substituted Lord whenever the divine name Yahweh appeared, so Lord takes on divine dimensions. A Savior who can be regarded as the Messiah Yahweh. When the shepherds, and later Mary, begin to ponder the angel's exalted title for this baby, the implications are staggering. How can the shepherds know that the angel's message is true? The angel gives them an authentication test, a sign. Verse 12, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. The sign consists of two elements. The baby is, one, wrapped in cloths, and two, lying in a manger. The swaddling clothes are strips of cloth-like bandages wrapped around young infants to keep their limbs straight. In those days, there was nothing unique about being wrapped this way. However, the second sign is that the newborn will be found in a manger, a feeding trough. That is unique. A manger suggests a location in some kind of stable. A second century legend indicates that this was a stable in a cave. After the angel's startling declaration, the heavens reveal a huge crowd of angelic beings. Verses 13 and 14. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." This heavenly host or army of angels is praising God. It may have been a heavenly choir, as in popular Christmas lore, but the scripture doesn't explicitly say that they are singing. Here they seem to be chanting in unison or speaking. The content of their praise is, one, to give glory to God, and two, to offer a blessing of peace to men. The angels promise peace, peace between God and mankind, which essentially amounts to salvation. We're used to the wording, "on earth peace, goodwill toward men," from the King James Version. But more ancient Greek manuscripts indicate that a better translation is, "on earth peace to men, on whom his favor rests." The idea is that God extends his peace and salvation to his favored people, those whom he sovereignly chooses or elects to favor and save. The angels bring glorious good news as they light up the night sky with God's glory. What the shepherds do with this good news we'll examine in our reading tomorrow. But today, I ask you directly, what are you doing with this good news of great joy? How far have you shared it? Our discussion question, number 16, is based on Luke 2, 8-14. Why do you think the angels shocked the shepherds with their radiant glory? Why not something more low-key? What is the content of the good news that the angels bring? What allows the shepherds to authenticate this news? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this glimpse into the glorious announcement of your Son's birth, heralded by an army of angels. All heaven rejoices. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.